Business on Heart 1027.
I'm chatting with Dr. Roelof Botha, an economist. We're chatting the fourth quarter Ultron FinTech Household Resilience Index. Roelof, appreciate the time today. A strong fourth quarter, but I got to ask two questions. How much influenced by December being bonus month? And of course, we actually did get some rate cuts. I'd forgotten about those. And then the two-pot system, I mean, that must have helped to a fair degree for the survey, because it did look strong in that Q4.
Yes, absolutely. And well spotted. The withdrawals from long-term savings via the two-pot system had a profound impact on the Ultron FinTech Index. We've also picked that up at the Optimum Investment Group, and I'm assuming all the fund managers have encountered this, and it's not going to stop. I did a quick calculation. If I assume that those two indicators changed according to their average over the last 2 or 3 years, then the index would not have increased by 2.9% year on year, but rather by 1.4%. So it's much lower, but it's still a movement in the right direction. But there's a couple of things to be concerned about.
There are things to be concerned about. And to your point, it's moving in the right direction. It's looking good. There were some T's and C's for Q4 of last year. But I mean, the short version, and there are some green shoots, but the short version is households are not out of the woods by any stretch.
Exactly. And I couldn't believe it. It was frightening to me. End of March, when the Monetary Policy Committee halted their rate-cutting cycle. It's absolute beyond belief. If you in that same period, it became known that the capacity utilization in South Africa's factories, the manufacturing sector, was still declining. And the reason for that was a lack of demand. There is no excess demand in this economy. There never has been since before COVID even. Raising rates to counter the inflationary impact of a 700% increase in global freight shipping rates and a 400% increase in the oil price shortly after COVID, inter alia due to Putin's military invasion of Ukraine. Higher interest rates were never going to fix this. Interest rate inflation has come down because those prices, those key supply-side input cost prices, have declined and normalized. And it really grates me that the MPC is trying to garner the credit for lowering inflation. They had nothing to do with it. In fact, all they did was to reduce South Africa's growth rate, and that's a fact.
Yeah, because there is no demand. We can see this. We can look out the window. We can look at the survey. We got inflation. What was it? The March data was 2.7%. And to be clear, I mean, for listeners, the target is 3 to 6. We are below target. We've got an MPC. Is it the 29th of this month? I think. 29th. And the census, they're probably going to hold again. Which, I mean, at this point, our prime should be, I don't know, 9%.
Well, just to put it in perspective, you know, the prime rate was 10%. Before COVID, and it was criticized for being way too high. Now the prime rate is 11%. And when John Marcus, the previous governor, was in charge of monetary policy, very importantly, during a five-year tenure, the average real prime rate, prime minus CPI, not intimidating maths by any stretch of the imagination, was 3.1%. The economy grew at just below 3% per annum in real terms for 5 years. Now we have an 8.3% real prime rate. That's a 170% increase, and the economy is not growing at all. Now, you know, do the members of the MPC understand economics? One has to start asking that question. I've recommended to the government at a senior level that all they need to do is to change the composition of the Monetary Policy Committee to also include economists from National Treasury, from the Department of Trade and Industry, and private sector economists. So you stretch it out, 3 people from the Reserve Bank, and if that had been the case in South Africa today, I can guarantee the listeners that our prime rate would not have been 11%. It would have been somewhere between 9 and 10.
And that would have a huge impact. I mean, household debt in the survey is lower, but to be clear, only ever so slightly lower. There's still a lot of debt out there in the system. You mentioned utilization. I mean, businesses aren't seeing any demand coming through. And the rates are hurting. I mean, the debt might be down, but it's still there, and it still is causing significant pain to the average South African household.
Yes, I mean, I'm just amazed that Mr. Kulungwana doesn't follow this data, apparently, because they should be putting pressure also on government to have a look on what's happening. Are the MPC members actually aware of the second part of their mission statement, which says that they must encourage growth? Because if the household debt cost disposable income ratio had stayed at 6.8%, where it was in the beginning of 2022, instead of moving to above 9%, then they would have spent consumers would have spent so much more in the economy that National Treasury in this budget would have had, over this period, would have had 58 billion rand more. I can vouch that number. And the VAT rate increase would not have been on the table, and there would not have been this uncertainty about the future of the GNU. So quite frankly, the MPC is really making a mess of things. And that's putting it mildly.
Yeah, and that 58 billion, I think the 2% proposed VAT was, what, 59 billion. So, I mean, their minister is your money. I said up front, there are some things that are looking better. We are seeing employment tick higher. We are seeing salaries improve at the same time in this latest index.
Yes, I mean, we South Africans are, as we all know, we are a resilient lot. We make a plan. But if you look at the consumer confidence indices, the PMI from Stellenbosch University and from S&P Global, things are not looking very good right now. And there's a simple solution, and that is all government needs to do is to implement the recommendations of the World Bank roadmap for higher growth in South Africa, a report that was requested by the South African government in 2023. It has been delivered to them, and that report talks clearly to getting rid of the carded deployment effect in the public sector. And it seems to me as if some elements in the GNU are going to try to protect some of those carded deployments to the utmost, which will be a pity. If they implement that World Bank roadmap for higher growth, we're home and dry. But as long as they change the MPC, of course.
Well, yeah, and to your point, and I mean, that then comes back to, I mean, cadre deployment, which is also the public sector wage bill, which again was one of the big challenges that the minister faced in his first two attempts at a budget. He's got another one coming up in, what, a little over 2 weeks.
Yes, I think everybody understands the fact that in the private sector, whatever you are earning, whether it's 10,000 or 100,000 rand a month, that figure can be related to a bottom line. Mm-hmm. A profit or a loss, and that impacts, and you add value. If you don't add at least that much value to your organization, then you go bust. In the public sector, that doesn't hold. So you must make 100% sure that the people that you appoint are actually adding value, and that their salaries are not so high that people tend to rather want to work for the public sector than the private sector. And unfortunately, that's happened in South Africa.
Yeah, the switch away because, as you point out, I mean, salaries aren't bad and the KPIs are practically not there. We'll leave it there. That's Dr. Roelof Botha, the fourth quarter for 2024, the Altron FinTech Household Resilience Index, and of course our MPC. Always appreciate the time.
Heart Business on Heart 1027.